Okay. So we, as I mentioned, we're here as brothers and sisters in Christ because we know, we've already figured out that if you're a parent or a grandparent, we don't parent or grandparent well, but for Christ in our own flesh when we're on our own. And as young people that are in the room, you're old enough now to realize that when you're using just your own thinking and you're allowing your emotions to reign, things go awry really quick and you don't make the best choices, and tension quickly can build between you and your mom and your dad. And so that's why we're here. We want to be equipped by God's word. And so let's look at the scripture together that I just mentioned, Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. So that's why we're together. And I hope, I've already been praying for you guys as families, that we grow in our affection for the Lord. I wrote some things down on the board. These are just some, I don't know if you guys can read my handwriting, so I'll kind of go through it. These are the big things that we're going to touch in the class. Number one, hope. You know, we have a great hope in Christ. And very quickly, when we're in seasons of trial and suffering and rebellion, we can lose our fix on the hope of Christ and his word and his spirit. Some of you in this room, there's a lot of us, might not be a believer. You may not have yet placed your faith and trust in Christ. You have yet to repent and believe in him. And so one of my personal hopes is that there will be faith and belief by God's grace and mercy in your life. If you're here and you're going through the motions, I pray that this be the time that you would come to saving faith in Christ, realizing that you, just like the rest of us, desperately need to be rescued from the wrath of God, from the sin that you are, the sinner that you are, and only Christ is the answer to that. So, I have that hope for us. This class, Lord willing, because we'll be in God's word, is going to give us courage, insight, and wisdom. Do we all not need that as parents? We need it every day. And I have found that when I'm just going to address things in my life, from the smallest to the largest, if I'm not really intentionally seeking to have the mind of Christ, I go off kilter really quick. And we need to be so careful. So my encouragement, I've already been encouraged as I've been studying, and I hope that you guys get encouraged as well because of that. We're going to be dealing with the idols of the heart. Idols of the heart as it relates to, you know, us as parents and grandparents. Idols of the heart as teenagers. They're there, they're present. Some remain and some morph and change, but the reality is we're quick to replace God as preeminent in our own minds, and we're going to deal with that. We're going to talk about what the family is about, the purpose of the family, biblical parenting, and that's key, right? Was we want to rely on God's word, and that there's a war. There's a war raging every day in our lives, and we want to consider that. Certainly biblical wisdom and convictions, you know, as parents, we want to grow in that. We need to grow in that. And I pray for you as young people in the room that that is something that you are desiring, that you are seeking, and that you are going to your parents, and certainly others, but going to your parents and getting help and saying, help me, I'm struggling. I think too often young people struggle and they don't ask for help, and us as parents sometimes either don't see it or we're distracted and we don't connect with them. Okay, so here's some of, again, my hopes. Faith, belief, a renewal for us, a greater affection for Christ, a greater hatred of our sin, an awareness of God, His goodness, His love, and His gospel grace. We need that every day. And again, as we parent, as we're dealing with tough stuff, when you young people, I'm talking to you right now, when you guys are trusting and obeying your parents, well, you know what? It's easy to have a good relationship with you. And when you're rebelling, when you're going the opposite direction of their command, their direction, we forget about God, and we become ungodly. Really, we're living a life that is really devoid of God in those moments. And so I pray again that this will be something that will really prick our consciences, so that we remember God is with us, He's for us, and we have that opportunity in the tough moments, students, to do the right thing. Okay. We have, you know, relationships that need to be strengthened in this room. We have relationships that need to be repaired, and I'm talking about between mom, dad, and children, students, young people. And then we have repentance that's required each and every day. Okay, so I want to start with those scriptures I gave you, so we really get our mind in the Word of God and being reminded of the hope we have. So I handed out 14 or 15 scriptures, and they really, you know, talk about the hope we have in Christ, the hope we have in our future glory, in eternal life, and in salvation. And, you know, we're going to read this, and you guys, some of you might be thinking, yeah, this is good. And do we have any more handouts? Because we're short. Sorry about that. Okay, anybody else need a handout still? Sorry about that. So why don't we begin with those scriptures. And so we'll start with Jeremiah 29:11. Whoever has that is number one. So, and each one is numbered 1 through 14 or 15. So number one, nice and loud for the class, probably louder than you think you should.
Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope.
Thank you. Number two.
Can I start a verse ahead? Is that okay?
Okay.
My child, eat honey, for it is good, and the honeycomb is sweet to the taste. Proverbs 24:14 says, in the same way, wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, you will have a bright future, and your hopes will not be cut short.
Third one, just you guys keep rolling.
Proverbs 24:20, for the evil man has no future. The lamp of the wicked will be put out.
Titus 1:1-2, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect, and their knowledge of the truth which accords with godliness, the hope of eternal life which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began.
Titus 3:7.
Being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
1 Corinthians 15:19-22.
For in Christ we have hope. In this life only we are the most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive.
2 Corinthians 4:16. Sorry.
So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal.
I just lost my place. Excuse me. What number were you?
416.
Okay, so 1 Peter 1:3 is next.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Romans 5:2-5. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
Romans 8:24-25. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? If we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience.
Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. And be constant in prayer.
Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in the former days was written for instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope.
Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope.
Psalm 27:4-5. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock.
Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
Thank you. We have much to be hope, much hope in Christ, in his word, in our future glory, eternal life, salvation. And that's why I gave you guys those scriptures to be able to, you know, to take a look at them at your leisure again, because they're encouraging. They remind us that we're not doing this on our own, and that there's a plan and a purpose for us if we have placed our faith in Christ. And so I hope that you find that encouraging. I do. Again, I'm well aware that some of us, the dynamics at home are solid. We're dealing with issues. We're dealing with sin, our own sin as parents, and sin with our kids. And there's some that are, there's some struggles. And then there's some serious struggles that are out there that, some of you youth are seriously in rebellion with God, first and foremost, and with your parents. And that's a big deal. And so, again, my hope for you, if you're in that last category, is that God will get your attention and that you will repent and that you will see your parents for who God has ordained them to be, your mentors, those that want to disciple you, speak truth into your life, and that truth is from God's word. The whole thing about parenting is it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the reality is that Jeremiah 17:9 says what? That the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, desperately sick. And but for Christ, there's no one righteous, no, not one. None of us seek after God, and yet we have hope if we have repented and believed and trusted in Christ. Psalm 119, let's go to there. Psalm 119, again, just as we think about this introduction to the class and what I hope will bear good fruit, is this scripture came to mind, Psalm 119, 9 through 16. Okay. How can a young man, and I'm going to add here, how can a young man or a young woman, a mom or a dad, a believer in Christ, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. And then we see a declaration here. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. That's for all of us in this room. And so there's a declaration there, a commitment that I'm praying and asking you guys to make to the Lord in this. As a student, as a mom, as a dad, whoever's in this room, may God's word be preeminent. May we seek to commit to trust and obey. You know, biblical obedience requires a death to self and a trusting in God. And so when we think about the relationships in our home, they really do require denying self every day and realizing that it's not about you as a student, as a young person, and it's not about me as a dad or a mom. It's about Christ. Even when we think about the commandment for children to obey your parents in the Lord, certainly obedience is important, but it's not about your parents and obeying them. It is about that, but the bigger picture is your heart being inclined to Christ and that you're doing this in the Lord, a motivation of saying, hey, I'm doing this because Christ has called me to, as a young person, to obey his word. And it's easy when times are good, you know, at home, but the challenge for you guys as young people is when your parents are asking you to do something that you don't feel like doing, that you don't want to do. You're too tired, you're thinking you're doing something else that's more important, and you don't do it. Or you do it with a heart that really is not inclined to saying, yes, I want to obey Christ by doing what my parents are asking me to do. And so I pray and hope that, again, this scripture will really resonate with us as a class. And then now let's just look at Proverbs 1, 7 through 9 as we think about these type of things. Again, I know you guys know the scripture, but this is so important. And God's word, if we believe it to be living and active and perfect for all matters of life and godliness, that's why we go back to it. And the Proverbs are so rich. So Proverbs 1, 7 through 9 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." So again, young people, I pray you not be that fool to despise the wisdom and instruction of God's word that, Lord willing, is going to come through the agents of your parents, through your mom and your dad, as they deliver truth to you. Verse 8, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." So again, this is clear. This is clear, and it's simple. But as a young person, there are many times this is hard. Any student, any young person say that this is hard? Anybody agree with me? Okay, three of you. Okay, all of us. The reality is it's hard. This is hard. And but for Christ, so again, I'll go back and say, if you're a young person in this room and you have not trusted in the Lord Jesus, you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. And boy, you're in rebellion with God. You're in rebellion with your parents. And this is going to be miserable. And this class is not going to, you know, God's word is foolishness to those who are perishing. May you trust God. May you trust in Christ. So young people, I know some of you, you know, fairly well, but I pray that you see your parents as that minister that God has placed in your life to be over you, to help you. Even when you don't want to be helped, do not forsake your mother's teaching. When your dad is speaking to you, listen to him. They have more wisdom than you do. They also have remaining sin. I have remaining sin, and we deal with that. And that's something that, you know, again, we'll talk about in the class, but honor your father and mother. That's a godly command and principle. Okay. So speaking of the matters of the heart, I thought this quote was really a worthy of reading. It's from C.S. Lewis, for those of you that, you know, have read his stuff. It says this: "Most people," so think about yourself, "if they had really learned to look into their own hearts, would know that they do want, and want acutely, something that cannot be had in this world. There are all sorts of things in this world that offer to give it to you, but they never quite keep their promise." You know, you guys can fill in the blank of what is it as a mom, as a dad, as a young person in this room that too often you get duped into thinking this is going to give me peace, this is going to give me hope, this is going to make me feel better, and it's devoid of God, God's word, and His precepts and principles. We have to be so careful that we're not buying into that, because we do every day. And what's the world say when it relates to what's most important in life? Me, right? The world says it's all about me. And young people, you have that to deal with every day, that when you watch TV or you see stuff on a magazine when you're walking through a store, whatever it is, it's all about me. It's all about self-gratification. If it feels good, do it. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. That's why we use God's word, and that's why God uses parents to lovingly minister to you as young people. So, what does the what is the attitude that the world says that the teenage life is all about when someone gets into their teen years? This is where I want somebody to help me. So, when you think about the teen years, what does, if you were to go to anybody down the street, and sadly in many of the churches, and say, hey, give me some words to describe the teen years, what would somebody say?
Friends.
What's that?
Peers, friends.
Okay. Peers. It's about peers. It's about friends.
More freedom. Experiences.
More freedom.
Experiences.
Having fun.
Okay. From having fun.
Driver's license.
All these things. And what it also, the world says, is teenagers are scary people. Teenagers are full of hormones and that are raging, and emotions in a big old bag that they shake up every day, and you don't know what version of them you're going to see on any given day, right? And that's how they describe you as young people, is that you're, to be avoided, right? to sort of kind of go around because you don't know, what you're going to contend with on any given day. And what that really, the truth of that is that during that time of transition, and it's a great transition. So as most of you know, Suzanne and I have 7 kids, and 4.5 of them are raised. Stephanie is going to be 18 in a few months. And so we're well aware of dealing with the things I'm talking to you about. And I will tell you, and I meant to mention it earlier, I'm not a subject matter expert in these things. By God's grace, we have 4 older children that are married, that are trusting in God, walking in His grace. But I need this class as much, if not more, than you guys. And I certainly need God's word each and every day to rightly help me with the continuing preparation for Stephanie and for Joran, and then Jeremy, coming up in the queue. And I want to be able to continue to think about them rightly, because I don't want to view them as this weird, like Joran. He's going, oh, Dad, you're going to talk about me. His voice is starting to do, or has been doing, weird things, right? It's gotten lower. Occasionally it goes up and down. I call the house and I'm not sure who I'm talking to sometimes. We deal with these things. There's a great transition that's happening with our young people, with you young people. And as somebody mentioned, I think it was Kayana, you guys want freedom that you're not ready to have. And you allow your emotions, your testosterone or other hormones, to rule you rather than the word of God. So the world says, hey, just stay, do a wide berth around teenagers, and wow, I can't wait for them to move out, because boy, they're difficult, they're draining, they're scary. And that's not what God has for us, for His own, for His children. We're talking about sin. So yeah, there's a recipe there that says, okay, I'm changing quickly as a young person. I'm getting taller, facial hair is coming in, my voice is changing, my interest in the opposite sex is growing. But that is not a license to say, hey, I'm just going to do what feels good and I'm going to say what I think needs to be said. May that not be. May we really be challenged and see that for what it is. It's sin. and we know that the heart is deceitful, and that's why we have God's word. And students, that's why God gave you the parents that you have, imperfect parents that they are, to help you when you are going in the wrong direction, or that you're getting ready to jump off a cliff and you don't even realize it and you haven't put a parachute on. They're going to grab you and pull you back, and you may kick and you may scream, but it's because they love Christ and they love you. So that's the reality of it. Okay, so teen.
I think one other thing that the world says, and even some churches and youth groups, it's all about entertaining, not just avoiding, but if we have them, let's entertain them and keep them busy.
Right.
Instead of really focusing on discipling, mentoring, growing, you know.
Right. Great point. Is it's like I mentioned earlier, it's not about you and it's not about me. And certainly the world does say, yeah, it's all about entertainment and child-centered parenting. We could spend a long time on that. In the home, it's not about the kid. It's actually not about you. It's about Christ. It's about mom and dad honoring Christ and doing their best to disciple you, to prepare to launch you in a way that honors Christ, hoping and praying that you will trust and obey. In the big picture, that's what we're trying to do. Now, do we do it with perfection? How many parents have done it perfectly? None. None of us. We trust in God. So we, as parents, we need to recognize that our teens are struggling and changing, and we need to extend the grace that God extends us, the mercy that God continues each and every day to provide us, to remember the struggles that we had, because you know what? The older I get, the better I was in everything. I was smarter. I was better looking. I was the perfect kid. No, that's a lie. And so we need to remember that as parents. And as kids, remember, your parents aren't perfect. Only God is perfect. And yet God is using them as an instrument in your family, in your home, in your life, even when you don't want it. Okay. So teens, I wrote down here, this is what the world can say, that they're lazy, rebellious, they have a small attention span. You know, you tell them to do something as a parent. Hey, could you put away the chicken before you go to bed? Because we don't want it to go bad. Oh, yeah, no problem, Dad. And then you wake up the next morning. This is hypothetical, by the way. This hypothetically happened last night. And you come out and you're like, you're kidding me. Didn't I talk to these two young people that were standing right there and we went through this? So we're not going to get into the depths of that right now, but the reality is, I don't know what my point was. I lost my point.
Short attention span.
Yes, short attention span. Thank you. Okay. All right, so here's what the world says about a dad, or what dad's perspective can be if we're not careful. Hey, I work hard all day at work, and when I come home, all I want and deserve is peace and quiet. I need time to relax, I want to eat dinner, I want to fill my belly, and I need to prepare for the next day. I need my rest, right? Anybody ever want that as a dad? Okay. Michael's like, pick me, right? So I'm not saying some of that to an extent is a bad thing, but the reality is, you know, we're on watch as dads 24/7. That's why we need to rest in God, trust in His Spirit, and be equipping ourselves. Because when we come home and we're tired, that's usually the sanctifying time where something has gone wrong in the home. When someone needs attention, when your wife is at her wit's end with one of you, young people, and she needs spiritual backup to help take the problem and come alongside her and deal with it. And so, dads, I encourage you, don't be that guy every day. We really want to make sure that you are seeking to sacrificially serve your wife in the home.
The best greeting when you get home is, guess what the kids did today? Go watch the video.
Yeah.
The sheriff was here today.
Yeah, exactly. Let's pray that not be. Okay, Mom, I wrote this down.
It was a fast time.
No, it's really calm.
Mom, I've been home all day, you know, dealing with the kids from the droolers up, and I deserve some me time. I have spent the day working at home, and I now have little left for anyone else, including my husband. Well, is that a biblical view of what a mom, a wife should be? No, it isn't. But again, we can fall into that. You know, I was reading something in preparation for this class, and it's not going to be a surprise, but I want to say it because it does grab me. And that is, when Christian data heads collect data on Christian families, they find less Christian children following in the walk of their parents when they have a dad who's not committed to the Word of God, when they have a dad that's not engaging his kids, and when they have a dad that's stepped back and either abrogated his responsibility to his wife, not attending church with regularity and being involved in the Lord's Day, being involved in service, and the result is more and more kids don't come to faith in Christ. Now, we know God is sovereign. We trust in that, but that's the reality. So us as dads, we have a big responsibility. We don't save our kids, but we do need to personally trust and obey and fill our minds with the things of God. Okay, so I have a question. We kind of answered the question on your paper that I handed out. But the second one says, what are some of the evil desires that can captivate or capture young people? And then there is, what are some of the evil desires that can captivate or capture parents? So I'm going to try this. The room's really full. We're going to try to break into little groups, and it's going to be a little chaotic, so move quickly. But I want students, young people speaking with young people, and I want you parents to speak with other older people. So we're going to do that for a few minutes and then jot some stuff down, okay? Yeah, so go ahead and do that. I'm going to pause. Wow, so this was a... Yeah, I think it was the students, someone said, but I don't know. So, hey, I want to hear from you five or six groups. So let's start with the student group right here, these young people. So we'd like a spokesperson. Share with us what you guys have experienced already in your own life and in the life of whether it be a sibling or another of these evil desires that can captivate or capture you if we're not careful. So go ahead, whoever's going to be the speaker.
Okay, so some of the things that we thought of were social media, bad thought life, opinions from instead of your peers, more of like your friends or, you know, more about me, so a bad thought life, internet access, self-image, drugs, gaming, friends, peer pressure. Those are just some of the
Okay, things. Excellent. Parents, do you guys agree with these things and your observation as you try to mentor them? Okay, so what I would like, if you don't mind, is I'd like that list, because I'd like to incorporate that list in things that we'll identify and discuss, you know, as we go through the class. By the way, one of the things that I believe Pastor Phil put out, I'm not sure, but was an encouragement to you guys, if there's a certain topic that you want to make sure that we discuss, to let he and I know so that we can prayerfully do that. What I didn't mention in the class, but it goes without saying, in the beginning, is what we're not going to do is spend any time saying, let's all talk about Joran's sin today or someone else's sin. We're going to talk about sin and what God's word has to say on the matter. But if a parent in the room or a grandparent, if somebody wants some counsel with a specific thing, we're not going to do that here, and it just wouldn't be honoring to the family unit. So we'll do that privately. We'll do that, you know, separately, you know, not in the class, but let's honor one another. And certainly I realize, we do contend with stuff that's difficult, but, you know, we don't want to say that Antonio's got issues and we want to, you know, all weigh in on it. That just isn't what we're going to do. Okay, so we heard from the students. Now let's hear from the parent group back there. Can someone speak?
I think equally, like they said, my first thought was immediately social media.
Okay.
Facebook specifically takes such an immense time and, you know, like self-desire to see what other people are doing and or, you know, self-gratification, you know, for what we're doing kind of thing. And so I think it's such an evil because it just zaps time. Next thing you know, 20 minutes is wasted. So... and then you take that time the whole day. So I just think in general, you know, social media has got such a grasp on society in general.
Right. Okay. What about something different from one of the other groups? You guys, anything you want to add to that list for parents?
We put busy priorities in front of children's mentoring, sports, pride-filled, through like if we as a parent maybe didn't go through sports that our kids are now, we can pride through that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually added as well work and busyness that way.
Okay.
To express it to the child as well.
Okay, good. Students, do you have anything to add to that list?
Yeah, we had, so like all this stuff like social media and what they mentioned, that like came down like wanting freedom, where like kids want freedom in what they do. They don't want to have a parent being like, hey, get off your phone, you're on it too much or whatever. So that was like our big issue, is want freedom, want to drive, but not being focused on like the family and what other people need.
Okay, good. You guys have anything you want to add?
We just talked about like out of balance parenting, erring on the side of being too lenient or too harsh.
Right.
Erring on the side of managing worldly expectations for your kids with like academics or behaviors, you know, not bowing to the idol of behavior modification, but really reaching for the heart.
Right.
Enabling kids instead of equipping them, because you want things to be easier for your kids. And just comparison with other families, with other kids, with other parents, things like that.
Right. Excellent. Those are all real that we have to consider. Anybody else here? Yes.
We moms talked about wanting appreciation from our kids, affection. And the dads talked about wanting obedience, work. And we talked about how there's sometimes a struggle to want your kids to adopt not just your convictions, but your preferences.
Wow, that's, you just convicted me.
Yeah.
Right? Thank you for that addition. So I've shared with you guys, some of you people, and I'll just share it again, that years ago when my oldest, who's now 30, was probably 16-ish, I had to come to the realization that I was trying to make him in my image. And that I was trying to get him to buy into my preferences. Hey, I'm an outdoor guy. Everyone's spiritual is an outdoor guy, you know, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I really had to confess and repent over my buffoonery, my foolish thinking, because I really wasn't loving God rightly. I was really putting myself on the throne. And I was trying to make someone who was gifted in math and books and inside stuff, my older son, and those are all good things, but, you know, I was majoring in the minors, I guess. We can do that as parents. I'd love to talk about everything, and over time we will. So if you people that wrote stuff down could give it to me, if you wrote it in chicken scratch, if you could maybe type it and send it to me, that would be actually even better, so I can read it. But the reality is, there's a lot coming at us, you know, and what these evil desires that can well up in us as a young person or in a parent, there's one remedy. And what is that remedy? That's right. It's Christ. It's the word of Christ. It's his gospel grace. It's the grace that we stand in. It's the word of God that we need. And again, we know this, but wow, we need this every day. And I implore you guys, wow, trust it. Read it. Take a nugget of one of those hope scriptures and meditate on it. And then discuss it even as a family. For you young people, you know, you're going to hear me repeat some things because I have 7 kids and I know that I have to repeat myself a lot of times. By the way, God repeats stuff to us as older people. A lot of times we see things, sins, put off these sins. Why does God say it so many times?
We still have more.
Yeah, we're still putting them on, and we're still forgetting, and it's like, man, I agree, and then I sin. And that sin, I just agreed that I thought was a bad thing. But students, you know, one thing, you know, as we have 4 minutes left of the class that I'm going to ask you. So each young person now, look at me, okay? I ask you if there's an area of struggle right now in your life that your parents aren't aware of. Have the courage to confess it, okay? Because we've talked about a lot of things, right? You got the internet and the social media and pornography and all these things that are, you know, within a second's reach. Talk to your parents about it. Also, young person, if there's a struggle right now for control in the home, if you want to call it that, confess that to your dad or your mom or both. That's what I'm giving you guys homework to this week, to have a real conversation, maybe for the first time, in an area of your life where you say, you know what, I've been so difficult and unresponsive that I am asking you to forgive me. Something as the Lord would lead you to that. Don't say it if it's not coming from your heart, because that's useless. But I'll be praying for you young people to grow in your communication and relationship with your parents. We all communicate differently. Some of us have the gift of gab. Sometimes the extreme is we talk too much, and the other extreme is you never know what I'm thinking because I never speak. And as parents, whether you're on that continuum, students, young people, I ask you, speak to your parents, even if it's difficult. And parents lovingly help draw them out. Don't just ask a question and go, okay, hey, son, how was your day? Good. Okay, good. I got that one covered. Check it off the list. Right? We need to patiently endure and ask further questions that are pertinent to drawing you out. And then also, take initiative so that you can have meaningful conversation. That's what I'd like to see happen this week. Parental homework. I was asked, and there was so much here mentioned, but like the balance. Somebody mentioned, the extreme of being the completely the parent that is very permissive on everything, or the parent that just says no before the kid completes the question. Hey, may I know? Right? And actually, both of those are real easy for parents. I've been guilty of probably both sides of that, because it's real black and white and it's extreme and there's no middle ground. So parents, hear your kid out fully when they're discussing something with you. Even if you think quickly you're discerning childish thinking, a lack of wisdom, it may or may not be the case, but honor them by hearing them fully out and then having a conversation. Don't shut them down. Okay, so in your conversations with your kids this week, I ask you for some, to let me know the following week, how'd you do with that? Because I do that when I'm not careful. You guys have heard me talk about that. I can shut down my kids when I think they're going in the wrong direction and I think I'm helping them. I really didn't help them. I leave them wondering, boy, clearly dad doesn't agree and he's moved on and he's left me on my own to fill in the gap. Let's not do that. So that's what I would ask. So our time is up. And we have quite a few weeks ahead of us. Praise God for that. So this was just to get us started. And now we're going to start to really dig in more. So guys, I'm so encouraged that you're here. And I know we touched the tip of the iceberg as we talk in a Sunday school class. But spend time with your children and students. Spend time with your mom and dad and be real with them and connect with them even if you think they don't care or they don't love you or they're not interested. Let God be glorified in these things. Just critical. So let's pray. Father, we covered a lot and we know you're with us. And so, Father God, I just again commit these relationships that are represented in this class. I pray for your help. Father God, we need you desperately in our lives, in our communication, in our direction our family is going. Father, I think about dads, husbands right now, and I pray for your blessing. I pray for you to build us up in your word and anchor us in your truth, God, this week on some truths of scripture that would give us the hope that's available to us. Father, I pray that you'd help us as men to seek to understand our wives, to appreciate our wives, to support them in ways maybe we haven't been as it relates to our relationship with them and our dynamic of raising kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Father God, I pray for moms, for wives, again, that they would be refreshed and renewed in your word, knowing that you are with them, you are using all things for good, even when they're really difficult and really draining. And so, God, I pray for you to refresh the moms, the wives that are here, and may they seek to help their husbands in the role that you've placed them in. And Father God, I pray for the young people that are in this room. Father God, I pray that if there be one or two that have not trusted in Christ as Lord and Savior, may that be the time that they see their desperate need, that they are in enmity, an enemy of God, and the only solution is to trust and obey, to repent and believe in Christ as Lord and Savior, who paid the price completely on the cross. Father, that actually gives us comfort as we realize every day we go through stuff that we are not being scorecarded on our performance, but yet we were called to trust and obey. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help students, young people in their walk of faith, in their identification of sin, in their communication, and being real with their mom and dad. Help them in this area. Again, we are thankful for you being a great, steadfast, enduring God that is with us. We desire to bring you glory in our thoughts, words, and deeds. Help us to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
So don't forget to look at the books if you'd like, and if you're interested in a couple of the free books up here that I have.